When you stop to think about it, rural areas in our region are well set up for renewable energy. Between abundant sunshine in the high country and wind on the ridgetops, plus a few other features like water and hot water, there's plenty of unused energy generation capacity. Making Energy Work for Rural Oregon is the name of a workshop set for tomorrow in Klamath Falls, featuring a number of people and agencies and non-governmental organizations as well. One of them is the group Sustainable Northwest, where Lee Rahr is the Energy Program Director and our guest on the exchange today. Lee, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Nice to be here.
Well, thanks. Thanks for joining us. Tell us a bit about Sustainable Northwest.
Well, Sustainable Northwest has been around now for over 20 years, and we are an organization that brings people together to find common ground and solutions at the intersection of natural resource, the economy, and community. Most often we work in rural areas, often around some sort of strife or natural resource challenge, and we bring people together to find those solutions and point people to the often case, especially in energy, the existing solutions and connect people to a way forward.
When you talk about strife or natural resource challenges, do you mean things like arguments over land use and extraction industries, that sort of thing?
Yes, we found our start really in the 1990s when the state was up against much, you know, strife in the forest industry. And we were asked to come into Wallawa, the county of Wallawa, to help find kind of common solutions to the timber wars. And we're worked closely with the Forest Service as well as a lot of other partners out there to really help begin this collaborative process that now the federal forest system really works on to find solutions around, you know, what the community and the state and the county and the federal government feels can be the best way forward around forest treatment. And that's really where we found our start, you know, bringing people together to find common solutions to find a way forward.
So certainly focused on the future, but not necessarily completely eliminating the past at the same time, it sounds like.
Right. I mean, as we all know, things seem to repeat themselves. And if we can do a good job of remembering, you know, how we found solutions in the past, it's often the way to find a way forward. And that is often bringing stakeholders together to find a common solution.
All right. I see by your website you have very many approaches to sustainability, and one of them is to talk in terms of energy conservation, perhaps even before you talk about energy production. So, I mean, we've been talking for years now about how we've managed to avoid building some power plants in the Northwest because the energy conservation has been so good. But we seems like we probably reached the point of diminishing returns there, have gotten all the low-hanging fruit anyway in conservation.
Well, yes and no. I mean, and good for you for knowing that. I mean, really, energy conservation is the first line of defense. You know, the best way to save energy is not to use energy. And a lot of that comes down to behavior change, turning off lights, working with the industry to find better technology for a lot of the resources we use. You know, our computers and our refrigerators and our appliances use a lot less energy. Our light bulbs use a lot less energy than they used to. So we've come a long way in efficiency, but there's still so much more to do. And then you blend that with renewable energy, and you know, we really, I think, can get to a truly clean energy economy.
We've tended to think in terms of large-scale power production in our society. I mean, we particularly Oregon gets a lot of its energy from large coal-burning power plants, most of them out of the state. And so, I mean, are we talking about a potentially different model here with less centralized power production, for one thing?
I think that's true, and we call that distributed energy, where homes, communities are building their own, you know, creating their own energy as well as doing a better job of using less energy. I mean, we're always going to see large power facilities, and we're always going to need that. But I think there's a real opportunity to work with the utility companies to have more distributed energy, and that's certainly a trend, and it's going to continue. And people, whether you live in the cities or you live in the rural West, are quite motivated by energy independence and using less energy and creating their own energy when they can to offset the cost. To be, you know, everybody likes the idea of clean energy, but all people really are motivated by lowering their costs.
We have a fair number of people who call us and tell us they live off the grid. I imagine that's been a greater instance of households over the course of the last couple of decades since there has been a renewable sustainable Northwest.
Yeah, we see that, especially in rural communities where they don't have the opportunity to be connected to the grid. It can be a more expensive a more expensive choice because you have to have battery backup, where those of us who live who are on the grid already, they can use solar or other renewable energy. And then the grid or the power lines are really like a battery backup. So we have a wonderful law called net metering, and it allows us to develop a credit on our bill for the amount of generation we put into the grid. And then at night, we get that, you know, we get that generation back. And so it's kind of a give and take we have on the grid. And so those of us who are in more urban areas or live on the grid use that net metering, and it's really a wonderful resource. But for those who are off the grid, you know, renewable energy, whether it's solar or geothermal or wood, can really heat and power their homes and their facilities. But they do need a battery backup, and that can be a bit more expensive.
Lee Rahr is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange Energy Program Director for the group Sustainable Northwest, one of a number of agencies and individuals participating in the Making Energy Work for Rural Oregon workshop held in Klamath Falls tomorrow at the Oregon Institute of Technology. Join us today now at the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Is rural Oregon a particularly fertile place to explore renewable energy production, Lee?
Yes, it really is. And you know, your teaser coming into the show suggested that. We've got Lake County, and Klamath Falls has incredible geothermal reserves. Eastern Oregon and Southern Oregon, amazing solar resource. We have waters. So we have micro hydro. We have biomass because of our forest industry. We, you know, have abundant natural resources, and they're there for us to be utilized. And rural Oregon, you know, is dependent on its natural resource base, and we really need to fully utilize that base to create heat and power. And we've done a good job at that, but there's so much more we can do. And that's part of what this workshop series is about. We're helping put together 6 workshops across the state, tomorrow in Klamath Falls, to really help the local community identify a path forward. What energy resources are most readily available to them, and what are the existing, you know, programs and incentives and grants that they can connect into? Each workshop, we've brought together experts in those fields. The workshops have been designed with the local community. So, you know, in Klamath Falls, there's going to be quite a bit of emphasis on geothermal and solar, and also on residential energy. We had a workshop in John Day. It was heavily focused on biomass. We had a workshop in Talent and in Hood River. Both of those organizations heavily focus on energy planning and solar. So we really tailored each one of these workshops to the needs and interests of the community.
Each corner of the state is going to have its own take on what its portfolio is, I guess is the word.
Right, exactly.
So who do you hope will come to the one in Klamath Falls tomorrow? I mean, who do the groups have been showing up for the workshop so far?
Well, we're really hoping elected officials, and we've seen quite a bit of city councilors and county commissioners at the other workshops. So we really hope we'll get the elected officials there, because they can really lead the charge, lead by example, create the appropriate plans to put the community on a path forward. Certainly community leaders and nonprofits, agricultural interests, and residential and business people too. You know, there's something for everyone, from whether you own a home or you're on the school board at the school, or you're, you know, on the city council. There's a role for you to play in your community to help create a clean energy future.
I had talked about the fact that that there has been a reduction in the need for immediate new power sources based on conservation, but I have to wonder, with all the new gadgets we have and all the chargers they require, if we've sort of hit the bottom of that curve and we've started to climb back up.
Well, I mean, I think that's a really interesting question. I think we have to continue to press on energy conservation, but with that, we have to find new ways to generate energy, especially if this the state is really pushing to get off of coal. A lot of the coal comes from out of state. And if we're really going to get off coal and we're serious about that, energy conservation can't get us there. We're going to have to come up with new ways to generate, you know, the energy to support our communities. And a lot of that is going to have to come from solar, natural gas, geothermal, and other small distributed energy renewable sources that people do on their home or their school or their, you know, city facility.
So when you talked about wanting elected officials to come to help spread the word, what are the kinds of installations that they might end up advocating coming out of tomorrow's workshop?
So what is interesting, in Talent as well as in Hood River, the city councilors were advocating for solar on city-owned buildings. And there's a new program where communities can use a cooperative model to put solar on public facilities, much like how you join a cooperative at, you know, the local grocery store or a fishery. And this allows people to join in and help their community purchase solar for a public facility. And then in time, they get paid back, you know, a nominal return on investment for their contribution into the co-op. And then in time, the host who has the solar, let's say the Talent Community Center, then will buy back that solar project from the cooperative in 10 years or so at a discounted rate. And then all of a sudden, the community center has solar and can power a lot of its needs for the community based on this project that was really helped put together and financed by the community. So this new solar cooperative model is really gaining a lot of attention, and both the cities of Talent and Hood River are looking at projects and using the cooperative member and looking to their community to help them finance that project for city facilities. So that's one of the exciting things we're really seeing come out of this, is the community joining together to, you know, residents and small business owners helping the city come together to buy to basically invest in solar for a public facility.
Lee Rahr is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Energy Program Director for Sustainable Northwest, one of several organizations involved with tomorrow's workshop on making energy work for rural Oregon in Klamath Falls at Oregon Institute of Technology. Join us on the exchange. Questions, comments, thoughts about renewable energy in rural parts of the region, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. The solar co-ops that you were just talking about required a change in Oregon legislation, didn't they?
Yeah, they sure did. And the state legislature passed that in 2014. And right now there's another bill in the state legislature. It addresses getting off of coal, but it also addresses having community solar, so another form of this community-owned solar. So we're really seeing a sea change in Oregon for community types of model to purchase solar. And I really think that this state, it has been out in front for a long time, you know, with the bottle bill and other land resource, you know, provisions. But now I think we're going to get back out in front in the energy game. And I'm really excited to see what's yet to come for the state of Oregon and community solar.
Given the fact that we have so much, particularly east of the Cascades, so much land that gets so much sunshine, I mean, we're talking potentially 300, well, actually, I think the actual figure is something like 250 days of sunshine a year in Klamath Falls, but that's a lot of sunshine. Oregon City of Sunshine, are we leaving a lot of megawatts on the table here?
Well, we really are, and Lake County has figured this out. Lake County is trying to become a net exporter of energy. Their goal is to become 100% free of fossil fuels. They already have 22 projects with a lifetime savings of over $1.9 million. They're using also geothermal. Their whole school system is operated with geothermal. And since 2013, they have not used one drop of diesel to heat those buildings. So you're right. Especially in rural Oregon, with the sun, and then communities like Lake County and Klamath, who have access to geothermal, there's no reason they couldn't be 100% free of fossil fuels. I mean, it's going to take time and a lot of planning and a lot of commitment by the community, but Lake County, you know, really led by Lake County Resources Initiative, has really been out in front on that and is leading the charge. And Jim Walls with Lake County Resources Initiative, he's been one of our panelists at all of the workshops, and he is really been quite an inspiration, and is really, you know, you have someone speaking from Lake County saying, hey, we're doing this, you can too. It really attracts a lot of attention, much more so than someone, you know, coming from Portland saying, you can do this. You get someone from Lake County, Jim Walls, wearing a cowboy hat, saying they're, you know, almost 100% free of fossil fuels, you can too. It really has been quite an inspiration.
Is there any limits on the geothermal stuff? I mean, we talk about it being among renewable resources, and you get hot water out of the ground in Klamath and Lake counties. Does it show any slacking off if you use it too much or anything? Can you deplete the resource, I guess, is what I'm asking.
I don't believe so, and I'm not a geothermal expert. I think the biggest limiting factor for geothermal is not the presence of hot water, but the cost of getting to it. But I know in Klamath and Lake County, they have existing wells, and it is a more expensive resource to create the infrastructure. But I know, say, in Klamath Falls, when they do road or sidewalk work, there's always an opportunity, and I think they've done it, is to reconnect more geothermal into the line. So I think the biggest challenge with geothermal is identifying and getting into new wells, but where they have existing wells, it's just the infrastructure cost of connection.
A smile comes to my face as I recall a very cold December night in Klamath Falls trying to figure out why my feet still felt okay, and it's because the sidewalks are heated by geothermal in downtown
right.
Klamath Falls.
It's like radiant floor heat outside.
It's pretty amazing stuff. We'll take a couple more minutes and talk to Lee Rahr, the Energy Program Director for Sustainable Northwest, about energy in rural Oregon. Making Energy Work for Rural Oregon is a public workshop in Kay Falls tomorrow at Oregon Tech. You can join us at 800-838-3760 on the phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Art in Klamath Falls. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Jeffrey. One way to make energy work for Klamath in particular that we're working on is to create a people's utility district under ORS 261, which would have the local community controlling our infrastructure, and we would be able to use BPA hydropower. We'd have a virtually zero carbon footprint if we can make this happen.
All right. Thanks for that. Thank you. So, Lee, what do you think about that?
I know there has been a lot of interest by the local community there to create their own utility, and I think, I think it's going to be complicated because they would have to break off from Pacific Power, but I know there's a real interest to become more independent, and, you know, that really speaks to rural Oregon has a very strong independent, bent, and in addition, they've got incredible natural resources, so you can see why they're motivated to kind of take the reins themselves.
Now, he had just mentioned the law that allows this to happen, ORS 261, and we had mentioned some other laws that allow things like solar co-ops. It seems like there have needed to be revisions in laws over the years to allow things. For example, net metering, if you have a home solar system, was that something that had to be done through legislation as well?
Yep, it was, and it's really one of the most important pieces of legislation we have, especially for residential and commercial renewable generation. It allows for us to receive a credit based on how much generation we create. And because it's annualized, we work with the utility to choose a date on when the end of the year turns over, which is important in Oregon because if you have solar on your house, you're going to generate a lot more energy in the summer, and you're going to end up with more energy than you've used by the time October comes around. But because we have annualized net metering, we can use that credit back until the expiration date or until it rolls over again, whatever that date is, say March. And that's a really wonderful piece of legislation that we really need to hold on to. In Nevada, they've taken that away, and it's just killing the solar industry. So net metering is a really important bill or a piece of legislation that we have here in Oregon that really we really need to hold on to if we want to keep solar alive and growing.
It sounds like these energy workshops make for some strange bedfellows. You already mentioned the people in the cowboy hats. I can imagine some people with fairly, the ponytails and that sort of thing showing up too. So so it sounds like you get a good collection of people from a whole bunch of different walks of life, really.
Yeah, we really do, and I and that's one of the things we really love about Sustainable Northwest. I mean, the idea is to bring people from, you know, diverse groups together to find collaborative path forward. And around energy, people might be coming at it for different reasons. Someone might be talking about climate change, but another person is talking about energy savings. Another person might be talking about energy independence. But you know what? We're all talking about the same thing. And it's the job of Sustainable Northwest to try to bring us all together and find that common ground and respect and chart a path forward.
You know, when we talk about renewable energy, the hydroelectric obviously comes into the mix, but that can scare some people when they think about large dams and fish passage and that sort of thing. So when you talked about micro hydro before, about what kind of a scale are we talking about here?
We're talking about very small projects. It would help offset the energy, say, on a pump you might have in a pump house, or maybe some of the load you have in an outbuilding on a farm. So it wouldn't be something that would take, you know, the load off of your whole operation or your old home. But for agricultural users who have different loads spread about their farm, looking at these micro hydro opportunities to offset pumps and you know, and different kind of load you have scattered throughout your farm would be the objective.
So give us the when and the where and the how much on the Making Energy Work workshop tomorrow.
Yeah, so we're going to be up at OIT tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., and the registration is $15, and they can go to Sustainable Northwest and register there. We're going to have a discussion at about the solar and geothermal that is helping OIT become, again, themselves as a campus 100% free of fossil fuels. And then Joe Wall from the City of Klamath Falls and Pacific Power are going to talk about Klamath Falls energy independence. And then we're going to go out throughout the day and talk about all of the other resources we've talked about here this morning.
Okay, all kinds of things to learn about Making Energy Work for Rural Oregon, the workshop starting at 9 tomorrow at Oregon Tech. Lee Rahr, Energy Program Director for Sustainable Northwest, thanks for joining us today in the exchange.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You bet. Short break, and then we'll come back and talk about body image.